Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, that's what he did. He put it all together so we can overcome. And I'm thankful to this Most High, Yah of Israel, Yahweh, Yahuwah, or Higher, all the various names the Father's known by. I'm so grateful that he was able to put it all together, just like the song say, that we can overcome. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, we want to thank you for your time for joining us right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the 5-6 Phone Network. I'm Devin Seth, the founder of the network. I've been saying it a lot lately. I don't know how to say that, but these 5-9 people confuse us to who I am on this network, so I have to say that. Please bear with me. I don't know ego thing. But I did build this network back in 2011. We are still going strong, and I'm thankful for it. I do thank the Father for hundreds of followers that we wish was thousands, but we're grateful. And almost 500 shows now. Well, we are, as we like to say, putting truth out there, sharing things that we know for sure. Who is we? Talking about myself and the co-hosts that we've had over the years. And speaking of co-hosts, tonight we're going to have the one and only Pastor Alcee Chris back of Aletheia Temple. I'm really grateful that he's back joining us because I really, really appreciate his gift, and we miss him. They've been asking about him on Monday nights, and so he's going to be maybe joining us tomorrow night as well. We'll see. But tonight, we definitely have him in the house. If you're around, he's supposed to be calling also. Our new caller, which is the one and only Brother Kenwin Cassidy, is going to be in the house tonight also. So looking forward to tonight's show, folks. And by the way, tonight's show, by the way, is talking about several things, but we're going to start out talking about this it's about a 2-year-old case, something like that. This white supremacist, Joshua Burgess, did the unthinkable and going in and raping and killing his daughter, black daughter. White supremacist Joshua Burgess kills his own black daughter in New York City, North Carolina. I'm going to just read the show description, folks, because somebody just called that phone line and you don't know what we're talking about tonight. So we're talking about white supremacy, and the mechanics of it, how it works, and more importantly, what the Father has to say about it, what the Father said in his word about it. Because if we're not liberating people on this blog tonight, we are wasting our time and people's precious time, and we're part of the problem. So you bet tonight. We're going to be talking about some solutions, all right? So, brothers and sisters, this is what the show description says. I think this is after some of you. It says, Sunday night, just now, white supremacist Joshua Burgess raped and killed his own black daughter in North Carolina. Talk about the sentencing of him getting life, because, like I said, this happened some time back, but recently he was sentenced. Also, excerpts from the upcoming book by Seth Turner, myself, The Myth of White Supremacy, Our World's Covert Ruling Religion. One more time. The Myth of White Supremacy, Our World's Covert Ruling Religion. Isn't that the truth? I want to say, folks, racism behaviors, including murders, are screaming for attention and correction, while irresponsible humans turn a deaf ear or deal on the surface. Human family, let's examine what's really happening in America on the 5-6 Phone Network tonight. I went on to say this show will be nothing like you think. We will examine this evil, from angles that will make all of us think awkwardly. And I ended this with saying the truth is often stranger than fiction. Folks, that's what I sent to many of you. That is our show description for tonight. Again, I thank you for your time. Folks, we're not playing tonight. It's not just a time to come together just to complain, dog out the white man, beat up on white folks. You know, these are intelligent people that are mass murdering non-white people. These are intelligent people. I do not think they just irrational. They can explain down to the minute, to every word in their head as to why they're doing what they're doing. And there's millions that agree with them. Don't be fooled. A lot of people that's demonizing or not demonizing, because it is demonic, but a lot of people of all ethnic persuasions that are condemning these killers, these mass murderers, really secretly inside agree with them. Now, especially, I think a lot of our white brothers and sisters, because a lot of them have been brainwashed into thinking that they are a group based on color, and some of us believe that a lot to us, meaning non-white people, if I can categorize us that tonight. But a lot of so-called non-white people actually think that we are a race based on color. And folks, it just makes sense. If you are literally a race based on color, or a team based on color, or a, if this is your people and it's been annihilated or wiped out due to integration, you are going to think similar to these murderers. You might not go out and shoot up the place, but you're not going to be happy seeing all these non-white people flood what you think is your country, a place that you think you built, and these people are coming and polluting it and taking it over, and now you're going to be annihilated. A lot of you would definitely secretly do like those police officers with the gentleman up in the shot up the church and buy him a cheeseburger. Don't be fooled. He wasn't buying the cheeseburger because he was hungry. He was buying the cheeseburger. He was really applauding what that young man had done. If you do like I do, brothers and sisters, and you do the research on these hate groups, they applaud that young man, and they applaud this murderer that we're going to be talking about tonight briefly, because we're not going to spend all this show talking about this case, y'all. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because this is bigger than this murderer that killed his daughter, Joshua Burgess. This is so much bigger. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, before I go to the phone line and bring in my co-host, I just want to lay this out very quickly, what the show is, what I hope it to be. Being the creator of the show, I have my desire, I have what I feel the calling is upon me as a creator of the show to do for the Father, but these co-hosts, they are their own self, men and women, and they may feel inspired of the Most High to do something different. So I can't make nobody do anything. I just have to say, hey, this is what we would like to do. But just know that. So being the creator of the show, I'm just tell you briefly what the show is and what it's not. It's not about bashing black women, bashing his spouse, the black woman who had a daughter with this white supremacist. She probably looking for love. She's probably very intelligent herself. It's like these races are intelligent. Intelligent meaning they're thinking it out what they're doing. They got the wrong thoughts or the wrong conclusions, I should say. They're just coming to the wrong conclusion. They're listening to evil. There's some ignorance involved. There's some deception is involved. Where I think actually pure evil spirits are talking to these folk, because you're talking about murdering masses of people. Yeah, evil spirits got to be involved, especially like the shooting in Texas where the young man went to the classroom and barricaded himself inside. That was pure murder. It wasn't even racially motivated. But tonight we're going to concentrate not so much on mass murders of all the mass shootings, but mainly where it relates to white supremacy, because I'm writing a book. And I want to continue to bring out excerpts from that book tonight, and which we do this every Sunday. Now, which if y'all don't know, those who just tuning in all late, tonight, again, we're dealing with white supremacist Joshua Burgess, who killed about 2 years ago his daughter and raped and killed her, and this is in North Carolina. He's been sentenced to life, to a death penalty. He's got the death penalty. And it's just not going to be enough to me just to kill him. I just don't think that's the solution. I don't think it's going to send a strong enough message, to be honest, because it's just one guy. The white supremacy, that's not going to stop them. So we have to challenge the white supremacy. We have to dethrone the white supremacists. So, again, back to the purpose of the show. The show is to shed light where there's darkness, shed light where there is ignorance, not just to white people, but to so-called African-Americans and dark-skinned people, because white supremacy is a philosophy. I keep saying on this network, and it's been since about 1991, many years I've been saying out loud that it's a philosophy, because I've seen too many black people full of this same germ, and they act out, and they kill us, and they kill our elders, and they kill our young people, and they rape us. I'm talking about black on black. So it's a not valuing black life. I like to say it like this before I bring on my co-host. It's like a coin. On one side of the coin, it says white supremacy, teachings of how white supremacy, of course, their lies. And then on the other side of the coin, brothers and sisters, it says black inferiority. There is as many teachings that blacks are inferior as it is whites are superior. If there's 862 lies about how whites are superior, there is, hold on, there are even equally that amount of lies about blacks being inferior. Let me bring on Pastor Chris really quick, because I don't hear myself right now. I got a backup phone now and I can't hear myself. So, Pastor Chris, I'm opening up your line, brother. Can you hear me okay?
I think I can, sir.
Okay. I couldn't hear myself, y'all. So that's okay. I'm going to continue talking. But brothers and sisters, like I was saying, Pastor Chris, and excuse me for abruptly bringing you on so quickly, but I thought the call dropped, but it didn't. But like I was saying, brothers and sisters, if there's, let's just say, 800 some odd lies about white supremacy. For every one of those lies that whites are superior, who are they superior to? Who's the subject? Who's the victim there? It's so-called non-white people. So if there's 800 lies about whites being superior, that means there are 800 lies about blacks being inferior. It's the same topic. As one side defines the other. One side gives the other other its credence, so to speak. So we always talk about white supremacy. You hardly ever hear the term black inferiority. You hardly ever hear it. But I can show you some black people that never, ever say whites is superior. They never say the term white supremacy. They don't even live around whites. They don't know much about white, so-called white people culture. They aren't all blacks. But they are heavily indoctrinated in black inferiority beliefs. Well, brothers and sisters, where did they get that from? I say, brothers and sisters, where did they get that from? Well, they got it from the same liars that put out the lies about white supremacy. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, what we're going to do is attempt to talk about this overwhelming, almost desperate cry by these racists to their people to eradicate this problem of them becoming a minority. There's a fear. It's real. Brothers and sisters, it's real. Pastor Chris, do you believe that it's real?
Yes, sir. I mean, if you can just watch what they're doing and how they're trying to change voting laws, how they're, you know, just doing everything to suppress our vote. Yes, sir. It's definitely, but it's never stopped since 1619.
Yes, and I believe this stuff it has to do really with the entire fiber of this country. It's just we'll talk about that too. This country, and again, brothers and sisters, please don't get too
worked up over this today, tonight, because we have solutions. I don't think the Father, I don't think this problem is no match for the Most High's power, what he has given us through the Holy Spirit and all of the things that the Holy Spirit does when it rises up in us. This lie, this philosophy, this power structure, this world religion is what it is. That's what my book is saying. It's just a flat-out religion, folks. It even has its own Savior, believe it or not. So tonight we are just attacking the lie, attacking the race based on color, attacking that our white brothers and sisters, because they are our human brothers and sisters, need not to be worried about being annihilated because they're not a group based upon color. It is a group based upon color by man. It is a social construct by man. But in terms of the Most High, he never authorized it. Never authorized it, brothers and sisters. We're going to hit that tonight. So again, tonight, again, the purpose of the show is to just to shed light where there's darkness, shed light where there's ignorance, shed light where there's deception, to help our brothers and sisters see that there is no reason to be out killing, murdering anybody to preserve your own, because it's not your own. You're actually killing your own brothers and sisters, because we all come from that motherland, I believe. And I like what the one sister, I can't think of her name, the older white lady that's going around the country talking about white privilege, but I like how she defined herself. She says, I am an African faded. I'm an African, but I'm faded. I'm just a faded African. My people lost pigmentation years and years ago. And she's absolutely right. Doctors say if you need a heart or a kidney or a lung, oftentimes if you're a black person, you need a heart or a kidney or a lung. The black person across the street, lung might not be a better fit than the white person across town. How is that? How is two black people look almost alike and they're going to have, you know, I'm talking about a white person across town? It's because you don't know that white person descendants in Africa might be from East Africa and you're from East Africa. Your descendants from East Africa. And that's why the genes are more related. The person across the street, the black person, could be come from Africa of late and could be from North Africa or South Africa. Folks, we are more alike than we think. Anyway, I can't thank you enough, everybody, for just simply joining us tonight for this very spirited, going to be a spirited conversation tonight. I'm so thankful that you joined us. So this is what I want to do. Sister Eliana is going to be joining us. I want to do something a little different. I want to kind of break the ice a little bit with a little comedy. And then we're going to start the show. I think this is going to be a unique way to start the show. Y'all got to hear this. This is only about 5 or 6 minutes. But this is talking about white supremacy. But in a way, actually, let's bring on the co-host first. All right, brother Alcee Chris, we got you on the line. Why don't you go ahead and just say hello to the people and let them know. Just give us about a minute intro on how to get a hold of you. In about a minute, then we'll go to Brother Castleberry, and then we'll play this clip. Y'all got to hear this white supremacist clip. It's comedy. This is a very heavy, heavy subject, so I figured I'd throw in this right away to kind of lighten up the atmosphere, but not really, okay? But Alcee, go ahead and let everybody know how to get a hold of you, Pastor Chris.
Okay, I'm Pastor Alcee Chris. I'm the pastor of the Lathia Temple Church in Sunny Stop 6 over on Village Creek. I've been knowing the Seth for, I'm so old, I don't even want to say it. But I appreciate
it ain't that bad.
You giving me a call and invite me to be back on the show. I missed it. Really missed it. And
yes.
I appreciate all you guys. And I'm glad to be back.
And we miss you, brother. Believe that. Believe that. They'll be really glad to hear you on tomorrow. All right, and so let's go back to the phone lines and bring on another host that's going to be commenting tonight. And that is going to be Brother Kenwin Castleberry, all the way in the state of Texas. Brother Kenwin, go ahead and say hello to the people and how to get a hold of you, please.
Shalom, shalom. How everybody doing? Good to meet you there,
shalom, brother.
Pastor Chris. All right. It's good to be back. How are you doing there, Brother Self?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing great here, man. Good to hear your voice.
All right. I'm here, man, and ready to get to it.
Well, all right, and let everybody know how to get a hold of you, because we like to do this, you know, sometimes we forget and folks be trying to get a hold of y'all and y'all gone. So how to get a hold of you?
I'm a truck driver by trade, man, and Facebook is the main platform that I kind of have. And Kimwin Castleberry, you can just look me up, message me if you have a question about anything. So Facebook would be the main route to go through.
Okay, brother. All right, everybody listen. Tonight, again, we're dealing with white supremacy, very horrible story. This gentleman, Joshua Burgess, that killed his own black daughter. And this is serious, y'all. We want to talk about the mindset of a person that would go out to be with a black girl. And I don't know that he had this in his heart all along. I saw some pictures of the guy. He looked like he really would love his daughter. And they talked about how he always talked about his daughter. I don't know what she told him. She might have said and just read him his rights about being a social construct. White's not, we're not, you're not white, I'm not black. We don't know what triggered this guy. But we're going to talk about that. But more than anything tonight, before I play this comedy clip, talk about white supremacy again. But more than anything, I do not want a guy out to be some freak. Half of this country put a racist in office, knowing the racist things he was saying. We play too much with white supremacy / black inferiority beliefs. We play too much with it. We trivialize it too much with our people and with white people, instead of just attacking anytime we hear anything less than black being brilliant and white being brilliant, but no more better, no more less, just people. You know, we tolerate this foolishness, and then when something happens like this, we want to act like, oh, he's so odd and different. He's not. A lot of people like what this guy did. A lot of people are going to do it tomorrow. Some people are going to go out tonight and do something to black people. Some doctor's going to do some things to black people that they don't have no business when nobody's looking. Yes, believe that. Some teachers are going to do some things to black people when nobody's looking to our kids. Believe that. They're acting out, and you ready for this? There's a lot of black people that's going to do stuff to black people because they don't value them either, some of them. There's a rule, there's going to be even some of our wives that's going to do some things to us husbands. And a lot of us husbands are going to do some things to our wives that's just flat out saying, I don't value you. I know that says, yo, that's not the same. It is the same. Our lives are just not valued like it should be. That's why we say Black Lives Matter. Anyway, folks, we'll be right back. Check this out. This is by the one and only Christopher Titus. This comedy right here is not to be played with, though. We'll be right back.
So I'd like to talk about white supremacy. Because science and fiction and fantasy is my favorite genre. There's no difference in any of us, except for the fact that some of us are too stupid to realize there's no difference in any of us. What happened to us, man? When did this rise up again? I see these guys protesting. Don't you want to just go up to these white supremacist protesters and just go, guys, I got a question. Really? Do you really think you're the master race? Do you really think you're the supreme beings? Then I got another question. Shouldn't you be able to handle a sunny day? Because I believe a supreme being would take power from the thing that keeps everything on the planet alive instead of always having to wear a swim shirt. White supremacy is such an oxymoron. Heavy on the moron, by the way. Seriously, really? And the guys that claim it, really? Really? Are you the best examples of white supremacy, really? Are they the best? In a case to prove white supremacy, we would call these guys in as witnesses for the prosecution. No, we're not going to ask you questions. Just talk. We'll get it. Listen, if you were supreme, Bubba E. Lee Wilkes Booth, maybe you could have studied quantum physics like Katherine Johnson did. Katherine Johnson was the woman that figured out the math, yes.
to get men to the moon and back. There was 1,000 white dudes at NASA, couldn't figure it out. This black lady walked in and went, I wrote this on a napkin. Is this going to work for everybody? Yes. If you were supreme, Grand Wizard Tucker Carlson Hitler, maybe you could have finished college like Philip Emeagwali. Philip Emeagwali is a Nigerian dude, invented the world's fastest supercomputer, 3.6 billion calculations per second. Yes, and because of this amazing black man, Bubba, you now get to watch porn on your cell phone during your lunch break at the roofing job. If you were supreme, Sean Ted Nugent Cruz Hannity, maybe you could walk the world with courage and calm and wouldn't be so scared out of your mind all the time you needed to carry an AR-15 into an Applebee's. I don't think a supreme being needs hollow point ammunition to protect his chili fries. If you were supreme, Andrew Kyle Rittenhouse, Jim Jordan Jackson, maybe instead of trying to overthrow the government, you could just come up with some plans and ideas that would make the people that voted for you the first time vote for you again. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's weird, right? The GOP's got a problem right now. All right, guys, we need more minorities to vote for us, but we hate minorities. Ideas? If you were supreme, David Duke, James Woods, Mel Gibson. Maybe you could be like James E. West, the black man invented this microphone.
I'm currently ripping your ass on right now.
White supremacy? The people denying global warming can't go outside in it. There's going to be angry bacon sizzling on the beach so the oceans finally rise above them. Oh, that feels so much better. If you were supreme, you could dunk. If you were supreme, Brian Kemp, Brett Favre, Kramer, maybe you could live in a world that didn't threaten your sad belief that you were better than someone of another color. Let's go through history. Every race of people has done it as good as Whitey. Latinos, Asians, blacks, every single one has done it. I will say this, Whitey did steal their ideas most of the time and make the most profit off it. And that's critical race theory. And all those people who did it better than Whitey, science, manufacturing, technology, music! They all did it while they were being oppressed by one of these hamburger-eating, insurrection, goatee-having, diabetic strokes waiting to happen. So, to all you white supremacists, I'm going to issue you an invite right now. How about you put down the weapon, take off the tactical vest that doesn't even cover the bottom 4 inches of your bubble, guys. Get an education, study some science, and then come join the rest of us here on the planet Earth. The planet, by the way, that's only 10% Caucasian. That's got to make your butt pucker. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I know. I know it feels like 98% Caucasian down at Boot Scootin' Night down at the Hoedown Holler. Only 98% because there's always two Guatemalan busboys, goddammit. But on the planet, us alabaster Aryans are barely pushing 10%. How's that feel, Bryce? So to all you white supremacists, why don't you calm down? Stop thinking like this. Join the rest of us and we can all rise up together. Or you better start impregnating every pasty skank you can and start popping out crackers like the Saltine Company. Personally, I'm going to judge people on who they are, on their integrity, their character, and how they leave a green light. Go! But
y'all know that was something else, wasn't it? Good night. My kind of talk there, folks. My kind of talk to her. Wow, wow, wow. Anyway, brothers and sisters, and that was the one and only Christopher Titus. It's called White Supremacy. Just type in Google White Supremacy Christopher Titus. It'll come up. I forget the official name, brothers and sisters, y'all. But anyway, I thought he nailed that. Pastor Christian line is open, and Brother Kenwin Casper, your line is open again. Folks, we're swinging in white supremacy tonight. We're going to start off talking about this gentleman who took his daughter's life, first raped her brutally and killed her, slit her throat. And this was his daughter, y'all. I mean, you got plenty of photos of him with her, seemingly a loving parent. And, of course, you know, some of our people have done the same thing to their daughter. Let's just go there. Again, folks. But before I talk about that, I just want to say, what did you think of what you just heard, Pastor Chris, the comedy?
I thought it was pretty good and on point.
Yes, yes. Brother Kenwin, what do you think?
He made some key points there about white supremacy. It was all right, man, you know.
Yeah, Brother Kenwin just, he has his doubts, and I don't blame him. A lot of our brothers and sisters do. And, but Kenwin, I'm going to tell you this, brother. We got to believe that the Father's going to redeem us. Guess what? It ain't just going to be with us. He have never done anything on this earth based on color. Most High have never, ever dealt with a people based on color. I don't believe. Until he called these people from the north. But that's just the people in the north, you know. He knew what he was doing with the white supremacy and allowing Satan. That's another story. But my point is, I'm talking about in history, he has never, ever just used a people based on skin color. So we can't look. We can't say because somebody's white, they can be a part of our solution. I mean, just look at slavery.
No, I wouldn't say
and
that. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I know, but it's a little. I know it's hard to trust. People think I'm just over heels with white people. It's not true. I think that I'm looking for the Father to redeem us, and I know how He works. By studying the scriptures, it wasn't just Israel that he used to set Israel free. He always would use their enemy to beat them down, and then when he gets tired of their enemy to beat them down, he'll allow Israel to beat down the same enemy, and that same enemy turn around and help them. That's just what he do. So for us to think that guy, the comedy we just heard, he didn't mean that. These people are living. It's white people killing each other over this white supremacy. They don't want a part of it. And for us to be sitting around saying, "Oh, he don't mean it. We're not very good warriors." You got to know who your enemy is, and you got to not be so in love with black people, so-called black people. I hate saying it, you know, but you got to not be so in love with Israelites that you can't recognize that the enemy can't rise up in them and take your life and your family's life. There's a whole lot of black folks that will tell you that. They can't stand black people. There's black folks that can't stand black because they killed them. Their uncle was killed. You know, they are scared of black men, terrorized. They want to live around all white people. They don't know what we talking about because they think niggas is just, I'm tired of this. I want to get out of Atlanta. They sick in the head too. So it's not an easy topic. So let's just start off, and I'll start with Pastor Chris. What did you first feel when you heard of this? And we won't spend a lot of time, brothers and sisters, talking about Joshua Burgess because, again, I think he's an extreme case. But I do think somebody must have said something to this man. I've talked enough. Pastor Chris, Joshua Burgess. He got life.
Think,
excuse me. He got the death penalty.
That,
Go ahead.
The brother was, I think, crossed up in the mind, and somebody might have said something that just set him off. You know, because in the past, generally, you know, if I'm old enough to remember, if that came on the news, we just knew that wasn't a brother doing that, because we wouldn't. And that's what I think of. You know, a lot of us are adapting Eurocentric ways, and we are starting to handle our problems like they do.
No, this was a white guy. Pastor Chris.
Oh, yes, sir.
Joshua Burgess, I think you're getting the stories mixed up. Everybody, this is a white supremacist that married, but he dated a black girl. They had a baby. There's pictures of him loving on this little daughter. He loved this black girl. He talked about his daughter all the time. Again, this is Joshua Burgess, and Zariah Burgess is his daughter, and her mom name is Akeisha Pope. I guess she's been remarried, or maybe she never married him at all. I don't know. But no, this was a white man that killed his black daughter, first raped her brutally, and after he did that, he slit her throat. So this is you missed the. I'm kind of glad you got that wrong, actually, because it'll be more organic now that you answer. So
right.
I'm gonna let you chew on that, and I'm gonna come back to you. But
okay,
what did you
sure.
think of Pastor Bubby Kim and Casaberry?
As a Hebrew Israelite man, we also believe in that spiritual realm and the blessings and curses. That's floating in the spiritual realm, and the demons that's also in the spiritual realm. I think what we're looking at here is a case of a demon right in front of our face that manifested in this guy here, and it probably came in him through that understanding that he had with white supremacy. Apparently, to me, by looking at the situation that he was attempting to fight against it, and having a child and loving on that child. But that demon got the better hand, and we're just witnessing how far a demon would go. You know what I'm saying? That's his daughter, man. I have a daughter. I only think that white people view their daughters the same as I view my daughter. That is demonic, what we're looking at here. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Go ahead, bro.
I do think daughters, I mean, the evil spirits, brothers and sisters, definitely has its hand in here. But here's what I call evil spirits. This is just me. I don't know if it's as much evil spirit as what you're probably saying, Brother Kingman. Here's why. Evil spirits is almost when somebody say, I don't know why I did it. I don't know. Or you can have a bunch of logic and make sense and still be influenced by a spirit of murder just because you whites really, let's just say, okay, in a lot of whites' mind, they are race-based upon color. They don't know nothing about no CRT. They just believe we're white people. And we guess what? We believe it too. We really believe it, too. So watch this. If God really made white people, and he meant for them to be white, and he wants them to stay white, then they are right. They should be taking us out. See, what that guy did, it looked like it's so demonic. But is it demonic when a doctor, like the doctor in Chicago that got busted telling all these black people they had cancer and they didn't? And they start taking a can never think of what people do. What is the name of Pastor Chris that they give them? I can't think. But whenever they take the help me out, y'all.
Opioid.
Yeah, whenever you get cancer, everybody take this treatment. I just can't think of the name of it right now. Just thought of it anyway.
chemotherapy. Whenever they put them on chemotherapy, it just, I know it's simple, but I just couldn't think of everybody. But whenever they put them on chemotherapy, you almost can kiss your life goodbye. Most of the time, you're going to die, seem like. This doctor was misdiagnosing black people in the, it's not just Chicago, folks. This is old. There's a lot of murdering right now going on. We only see what makes the news. So the reason why I'm telling Brother Castleberry, it may not be an evil spirit. It just could be somebody saying, hey, you going to take me out? No, I'm going to take you out first. Y'all are a threat to us. Like Francis Creston, Dr. Francis Wilson used to say, just our existence, the melanin is the threat. I oftentimes wonder, Brother King, when you can finish, why don't a lot of these white supremacists kill their own people? Because, after all, it's their people that's going to date our boys. Our boys ain't raping them. They're seeking after black men, and their white men is seeking after our. So it's not like our women and our men is going to force them to have sex, force them to have a baby. You know? So I promise you, brothers and sisters, there is this threat. There is this fear. There is this panic. Y'all better pay attention. This is serious as a heart attack. I mean, I, as spiritual as I am, I believe in angels. I believe in the Holy Spirit guiding us, all of this. But I am contemplating buying even more weapons than what I have. Because it's everywhere. Y'all have got to just read up. It's everywhere. It's not just mass shootings. It's mass diagnosing. It's things they're doing in the school system. And it's not all whites. It's not all whites. There are whites livid over this. They would literally kill. Yes, they will. They already done it. There's whites that would kill white supremacists. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's some white people that feel, watch this. Let me show you how serious this is, brother. Then we're coming to Pastor Chris. I mean, Brother Kim, you can finish, then Pastor Chris. Let me tell you how serious some white people are against this germ. They're literally dating outside of their race. That's miscegenation right there. That's miscegenation right there. Their mixing is going to cause their annihilation. They don't care. Why do we ignore them and say, all them racist? No. There are some whites that say, I don't care how the baby turns out. I just want somebody to love me. You can't ignore that. Can't ignore. All whites is not trying to preserve white skin. That's they wouldn't date outside their race. And guess how many choose to do that? Millions. This is why I say to a lot of black brothers and sisters, we're not very good fighters. We're not very good warriors. I'm not saying white people are angels or something, but I'm saying they're just like us. They're just vessels, conduits. They just told some and they believe it. We're just told we're acting out what we believe, they're acting out what they believe. See, a lot of blacks, the way they look at whites, to me, they're equally dangerous because they're saying, all these white folks, all these white folks. And so when it goes, we ever get into a race war, I think some black people just kill all whites. Right? F it, I don't care. That's dangerous. You want to kill evil if you just got to kill each other. If you just, it's got to be a way you don't hook up with some black folks that's evil. They'll turn around and kill you. If you just really want to get into a flat-out war, you can't just say, well, let's just go and just get this white macaulay white. That would be the most craziest thing because you're not going to wipe out evil like that. This is when your racism and your own heart blind you. I cannot be wrong. Last thing I'll say, I am firing
way at this topic, at this subject, at this demon, at this evil, and I just can't be wrong. That comment you just heard, you hurt the audience. That wasn't no planned audience. That was just some people wanted to hear Christopher Titus. They clapped. A lot of people ain't on this white supremacy stuff as far as an all-white race. Now, do they practice white supremacy? You bet. Do they think they're superior to us? You bet, in some ways. But we think it, too. We say it all the time in various ways. Pastor Chris, anything?
Yes, sir.
Now that you understand, we're talking about a white supremacist, a white guy, Joshua Burgess, killing and raping his own daughter, Common.
Well, I'm just saying this from an older man's perspective, okay?
Okay.
I've always thought, and it's been proven to me that you can marry into that race, but you're still a Negro. And the fact, you know, they figure they don't think nothing about killing us. You know, that's like stepping on a roach. You know, but it doesn't mean, you know, it's not anything big. You know, he really had to devalue his own girl to be able to do something like that. And maybe it was a racial thing, maybe it wasn't. I don't know, but. You know, you still a Negro to them. I think Malcolm X said it. What do you call a black man with a PhD?
Huh. What's the answer?
The N-word.
Okay, gotcha.
Because, you know, regardless of how educated, how well-dressed you are, what kind of car you drive, you still a what?
Right. I can dig it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, if she was a Caucasian, would he have done that to her? If she was Caucasian, I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
He would not have done that to her if she was a Caucasian, because he had a photo of a banana in front of the Obamas. He had a lot of racial things on his Instagram, but that was one of them. It just sounded like a white guy that meet a black girl, and when I talk about this a little deeper, I'll hit this a little harder, but a lot of our people, we just entertain white supremacy all the time. Do you know how many times I've heard of people that's dating white guys say and allow race, they say literally racist things themselves. So I don't know that this guy out of the clear blue just started saying racist things. I think they was in love, or they thought they was in love. She was living with her, and she went to spend weekend with her dad. You got to see the pictures. You just can't act that out. That man loved her at some point. What I'm trying to present in my book, where I'm talking about how racist white supremacy is literally a religion. Again, it actually has its own savior. It's a religion. And I just believe that he started learning about how whites are becoming a minority, and he's thinking, I'm sitting up to hear a part of wiping out my own people by marrying this black girl. I just got to stop. But before I kill her, I'm a raper. Because we're sexual objects, you know, that's probably his girlfriend. But maybe he really didn't love her. But it doesn't really matter if he loved her or not. The bottom line was he found something stronger than his love.
for his black girl, his black girlfriend. If he ever loved that woman, the woman we were talking about, brother and sister, who you talking about, brother and sister, his girlfriend, Akeisha Pope. If Joshua ever loved Akeisha and they had Zaria, you should never be able to kill your daughter. But I'm trying to share tonight.
That's demonic.
How the love for, no, I think the demons get involved, but I don't. The reason I don't say it's demonic, I'm not quick. Y'all know I talk a lot about this demonic, that's demonic. Here's why I don't buy the whole demonic thing. See, we say it's demonic because he raped and killed. Listen, and
yeah.
I do think it's definitely got something to do with it. But remember, he went down to the police station in his mind, in his right mind. People that's possessed of demons, a lot of times they don't behave like that. The guy that did the shooting at the school, that to me was 100% demonic. It didn't make sense. Killed his, shot his grandmother, barricaded. He shot innocent children. If you shoot innocent children, old people, babies, as a rule, that's demons. Stop. Don't even analyze it because it just don't make no sense. They've done nothing. This daughter thinking, I'm helping annihilate my own people. I got to be the biggest effing traitor in the world. After he woke up to his whiteness. See, the whiteness is more important than the black relationship that little fling had. This is what Brother Seth is saying, and I just think that's how a lot of our white brothers and sisters think, as long as they think it's based on a race. And don't beat him up too much, because if the shoe was on our feet, and in 20 years we're going to be annihilated, we'll be trying to think of how to get rid of some white people too. If there's black folk thinking about how to get rid of white people right now, what do you think we're going to be like if we're looking up and saying in 20 years there will be no more black people on the planet? On the whole planet, we're going to be – no, that's not true. I'm sorry. We're going to become a minority. They're going to become a minority in the U.S., okay? And then in about 100 years, they're saying this is extinct. So my point is these people are acting out of fear. I've said enough. Brother Castleberry, and I think Sister Eliana just took, yes, I think this is, hold on everybody. Whew, this is not easy topic tonight. Okay, let's go. Please excuse me, Brother Castleberry and Pastor Chris. We have Sister Eliana in the house. A lady is in the house. Sister Eliana, area code 209-683. Your numbers, your line is open. Go ahead and say hello to the people and welcome back.
Hello, and yes, it's good to be back here on this late show. I am Eliana Batya from California, and I live in Merced, California, and I'm really happy to be on tonight. I'm catching the topic.
Yes. Well, Sister Eliana, we've already kind of in the middle of it. So I want you to just hop in whenever you want to. But Penguin was up next, I think, and then I think Pastor Chris had something. But I definitely want to hear from you on this one.
All righty.
All right.
But welcome, sister, welcome. Go ahead, Brother Kenwin.
All right. This situation, as far as raping and killing your own seed, stems all the way back in slavery. There's stories of this very same act happening in slavery. The slave master didn't want everybody to know that he's making children out there. So there's stories like that. It's found there. I just don't buy it. He can simply disown his daughter. This sounds very much emotional, rage, like a demonic thing has took place. It's just hard for me to buy it that he betrayed his race, so he can rape and kill his daughter. That's to me is reaching. This is the devil here. That is, it says it everywhere around this whole thing. And I want to say that he's most likely always had an unstable character about himself that this young lady had to ignore all the signs that he was a little throwed off. And she got with him anyway, even knowing his past history, white supremacy, and how he felt about this and that, you know. But, according to the pictures, it does seem like he loved his daughter. But when you mention he raped and cut his, that's demonic to me. He can simply disown. Like he's a warrior for his race. He could have killed several people in retaliation to his mistake. But he chose, that's demonic. There's nowhere around that, man, to me, in my opinion.
We heard that. That was good. That was good. Pastor Chris and then Sister Eliana.
Okay, I just wanted to say that when you study history, when you are enslaved by a people, you never regain your full humanity. And what I said, one of the
word.
Things I,
that's the your favorite the words, thing, everybody.
What's that?
I was just saying, but Pastor Chris, that's your favorite words. You always say, and we do have a hand that's up. Error code 845-598. We'll come to you after Sister Eliana. Please be patient. Go ahead, Pastor Chris. That was your favorite word,
yeah,
though.
I was just saying, you know, they devalue you, you know, because they can come up with any old excuse to kill a sister or a brother, and nothing is said, nothing is done. So, you know, that's when Elohim raised up Moses and brought the Hebrew Israelites out of Egypt, because he realized, hey, you need to go over here and start your own thing. You've been enslaved to the Egyptians. They don't respect your full humanity, so you need to move on. You need to go out over here and start your own thing.
Powerful.
So
then,
how?
No, go ahead, Pastor Chris. My bad.
No,
go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, that's something I think we tend to forget, that we know we what 3/5 of a man or something like that. You know, we have never regained our full humanity, you know, since we've been here. So, you know, we might, you know, I think that all of the stuff that we have suffered in the past, that is in it is in the mind and the spirit of our oppressors. And I do agree with you that people are getting afraid because they're at a negative birth rate. In other words, there are more people dying than they are born, so their population is growing smaller, just like that comedian said, 10% of the world's population. That means they got 90% out there that, you know, that are not Caucasian.
Well, let's do this. Sister Eliana, please be patient. I just don't want this call to hold too long. I want Pastor Chris to get all of that out. But you mind me going to the caller? Would you like to jump in first?
No, go for it. I'm okay.
All right. Okay, error code 845. Thank you for your patience. 598. I'm doing something a little different with our callers. We'd like to know the city you're calling from, and how did you hear about the show?
My name is Jason Reed. I'm from Georgia. I used to live in Brooklyn, but I reside in Atlanta, Georgia now. Basically, I just was on Block Talk Radio, and I happened to see your topic because I'm a big I'm obsessed with the whole white supremacy thing, because, you know, ever since I was a child, always I asked myself, why did they pick color? Why not feet? Why not sheet? You know, like, there's so many specifications in regards to why people hate us. And as a child, I said, why did they pick color? Why wasn't height or size or anything? And I started to do research, because obviously the schools are not going to teach you that. You know, the two schools that teach you, Martin Luther King was a guy who had a dream, or, you know, all that good stuff that makes white people filterable. So then I started listening to Dr. Claude Anderson, Dr. Cress Welsin, you know, all our elder scholars, and I started to learn about it. And especially now, you know, since I'm enlightened, I'm watching TV, and I noticed, like, wow, you barely see any shows where they show you two black loving family members, like a black man and a black woman in love. Like, black love is almost like taboo on TV now. Everything is almost like it's like this gay agenda and interracial agenda being heavily pushed. Like every show, like one time I literally told my friend, try to watch a TV show right now where they're not going to show an interracial couple or gay relationship and like just normal people, you know, because majority of people in this country are heterosexual and they stick with their own race. That's the vast majority. But when you watch TV, TV is not a true representation of what the population consists of. I mean, if you watch TV, you would think majority of the people in this country are interracial and gay, which is not true. But you notice that there's this huge agenda being pushed. And then I started to do some research. And this is the same thing they did in Brazil in the 1940s and 50s. In Brazil, basically, if you guys don't know, Brazil, basically, the government felt like the country was getting too black. The country was becoming too Afro-Brazilian. So what they did is they created these little special welfare programs where they started to advertise for Europeans, hey, you could come to Brazil, we'll give you housing, we'll give you food. And this is why you see a huge influx of Mexicans coming to this country right now, because people, nobody asks themselves these questions. Okay, all these Mexicans that are coming, there's probably a million Mexicans coming in this country a month. Nobody's asked themselves where they're housing and where they're getting food. Our government's literally advertising to Latin America, letting them come over here to replace the blacks. Because what happened is the same thing in Brazil. Brazil in the 1940s and 50s had a huge black population. The numbers were staggering. It's like almost 30-40%. The white population got scared. So they're like, we got to change this. We got to change the dynamics here. So what they did, like I said before, they started bringing a huge influx of Europeans to Brazil, and they said if we keep this level going for the next 40, 50 years, the black population will be the minority, which happens today. Like right now, if you look at Brazil stats right now, Brazil, I think, is 10% Afro-Brazilian, 40-50% mulatto, and the rest is white. This is the same thing they do in America. That's why I think when they show black people as 13-14% in the population in this country, I think we're being, how can I say, our numbers are not true actual numbers. I think our numbers are more like 30% or more. Go ahead. I'm okay. Sorry. Sorry, I went to a rant there.
No, that's good, Jason. I appreciate you sharing that. That's pretty different. So I'll let you kind of go on and on there. But since Eliana, since she hasn't responded yet, I want her to respond on what happened before you or anything you're saying. Sister Eliana, please.
Okay, yeah. So to be honest, Seth, I hadn't seen this story, but while you guys were talking, I was able to kind of look it up. Now, I'm looking at the photo of this gentleman, not even a gentleman, the man. His eyes, they look crazed to me. Looks like he's deeply on drugs. But he looks tormented. I do believe it is a demonic thing. Nobody in their right mind can do something like that to their child that they brought into the world. That was to rape her and to brutalize her the way he did. He wasn't even in his right mind. He was completely overtaken. Just looking at the picture, she was no longer in his mind, his daughter. And whatever spirit was ruling him caused him to act out all of that that he did and to murder her brutally. That's just not normal behavior. That is severely demonic. That's possession. He was possessed and probably still is possessed. So relieving him of his demons through the death penalty, probably a really good thing for him.
Wow. Any comments to what you've heard Jason talk about? Eliana, Sister Eliana, anything for on Jason's comment? If not, I'll go to Brother Kewen.
Okay. Is Jason the person that just came on?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, about the thing about Brazil. Yeah, he's absolutely correct. Actually, they also started to ethnic cleansing in Brazil. They also did it in the Dominican Republic because of the population being largely, you know, very much African descent. They started to kill the people. You know, first they expelled them out of the country, and then even the president of Brazil is early as 2019. You can look this up yourself. Everyone can search it. They were killing. He licensed the people to go into the houses and to kill wholesale, to kill people who were black. But many were put out of Dominican Republic, but they really were killing them as well to get rid of that black line, that black seed, which is part. Many of them have that root, but for some reason, it's also that demonic seed that is on the earth that does not want the original people to thrive. That's what that whole New World Order, the Third Reich, all of that is about, taking away from the earth those that are the original inhabitants or the root people of the earth, which have the melanin. Because this, you know, it goes into a lot of deeper things, but the Most High, when he created the men on the earth, he created them to be protected from the sun, because the sun was something he created in back when he restored the earth, the sun and the moon. They were to mark time, but they were to give light and heat on the earth. Now, in our spiritual bodies, we don't need to have a covering of skin to protect us, because the elements don't affect us. But on this special planet, this earth, when he restored it, and we need light and we need heat and we need all of these things. And so our skin is what gave us the covering. And he also protected us from the rays of the sun by giving us the melanin, the deep melanin for the regions of the earth that he put us on. So this is about taking dominion over the earth. This is about the demonic entities. You know, the book of Revelation says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan comes down having great wrath, for he knows that he has a short time. In his short time, he wants possession of the earth. There's a guaranteed promise of redemption to the descendants, you know, of Adam, and that was a promise made to Adam after he fell from the garden. There was a promise made to Abraham. And so this is about taking back or taking over the rightful heirs and taking the dominion away from mankind, who has been given the rightful dominion over the earth. This is what this is about on a deeper level.
Good point. Right on. I can dig it.
Well, listen, Brother Jason, really quick, Pastor Chris, just bear with me, Brother King. I'm just trying to get everybody in before I let this caller go. Normally, callers don't go that long, but he was so good, I didn't want to interrupt him. But Pastor Chris, quickly, anything for Jason? Or anything?
Go to you. I'm just suggesting, man, go to the caller. I'm going to be on.
Okay. Jason, in 30 seconds, any final comments on what you've heard? Response to anything you've heard from our co-host?
No, I love what she said. I mean, I completely agree with her. I mean, there's a war. I mean, obviously, you see there's a war, a global scale between white and black. I mean, that's what it stands at right now. It's just a black and white thing going on throughout the world. And whoever's on the right side, obviously, is going to have an easier lifestyle, which, you know, you got so-called Asians and other groups of people who pass for white or considered, you know, the buffer class of the white group, and they have an easier lifestyle. But my point in saying all this is, I just want to see more TV show black relationships, because I think there's a thing right now in this country where it's, like I said, it's taboo to show a black man and a black woman. And that's why I love LeBron James so much. I think LeBron James is a beautiful example of black love. You know what I'm saying? This guy's been with his wife for over 10 years and have beautiful black babies. And I want to see that more. And for some reason, like I said, this seems like there's a taboo on our TV right now where everything's just interracial or gay. And I just want to leave it at
that.
Well,
let me say this to you, Jason, before I let you go. Again, thank you for your comment. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold so we can move on in the show. But thank you very much for your comment. Actually, well, hold on. Bear with me. Let's get over here. I'm going to let you stay on because I'm a comment, because I'm doing the moderating, but I'm also a commenter as well. So that's just what happened. You have to moderate your own show. But I want to say this to you. It's bigger than what you're saying. I believe African Americans is the target, like you see Eliana was kind of alluding to. I don't think it's just the black man that's a target. Africans do not go through what African Americans go through. They're not after Africans. They're not after Indians, dark skin. They're not after other dark skin ethnic groups that come to this country. The war is on African Americans. And that's the new name. The war is really for Israelites because of a calling upon our lives. They'll flood this country with Mexicans or whatever, anything they have to do. And it's not they. Let's get it straight. This is just Brother Seth talking. It's my opinion. I don't think it's they. I don't think it's the white man. I think it's Satan. And I think it's that old fight in the heavenlies for the seed of Abraham. It's just some of the things the Father allowed to happen to us because of our rebellion, and now there's a coming out. Now our senses have been served, so to speak, in this Egypt, so to speak, this place of captivity, and there's a coming out. And like one white racist said, we must stop the rise of a black Messiah. If you go take it back to the Bible, the Pharaohs say we got to stop from becoming, and I'm trying to just make everything real short. I should probably take my time. But the bottom line is we are the problem. We're Israel. And there's a calling upon our life. It's bigger than just black and white. It's bigger than that's just another ism Satan is using to divide this country and keep us fighting. But it's so much bigger. I want you to keep listening to this Five Smooth Stone Network because we get into it. We get into who we are and why we're targeted and what's going to happen in the end and what's happening. Because anything happened in the natural realm, Jason, I'm sure you know this, it first started in the spiritual realm. It's not just about skin color. I used to think that I got a big old note on my mirror that says, we're not attacked because we're black. We're attacked because we're Israelites. If you look at it like that, it'll make sense because how come these other ethnic groups are not suffering like we are? And that starts a whole nother conversation, which we can't get into right now because we've got white supremacy under the microscope. But I think it's bigger than these lies of white supremacy. I'll say it like this, and I'm gonna go, and I'll be done. Think about this for a minute, Jason, and everybody listen. Those you on the phone line, if you want to do like Jason, press one. You can come on and ask the same question. We'll give you the liberty tonight to talk a little longer than we normally allow our callers. Those you in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, go ahead and enter that question in the chat room with question marks before and after, and we'll get to that question as soon as possible. But think of it like this, Jason, Sister Eliana, Pastor Chris, Brother Kenwin. If you're Yah or Yahweh or Yahuwah, however you call the Father, and you want to break down the most powerful nation on the earth, your own firstborn, the nation you formed, your God, Israel, was a nation birthed by the Father, told Abraham he was going to make his nation great. Sure, these nations are full of priests and prophets that can intercede at any time and change his heart. This is the most powerful nation. Make the Roman Empire look like children because they were so small, but yet they dominated spirituality. Everybody knew about this God on the earth. I mean, this was Israel. They changed our whole planet, our forefathers. How are you going to break them down? How are you going to break them down? How are you going to break down that people with that much pride and ego? Please, somebody answer that. You have to have a lie that is strong. You have to have something that's going to be, that have never before been said. How are you going to break down Saul, David, prophets that can see into the future, eagle eye prophets? How? I'm strong. So the Bible says he, H-I-S-S, H is in Henry, I-S-S, he hissed to the nations of the north to come. Joel 2, the book of Joel chapter 2.
talks about this people that he called. And I believe Satan gave them this lie of white supremacy. They need to tell these lies as they can't rule. They got to go and knock off, they got to disfigure figures, they got to rewrite history, they got to burn down the book of all the books in library in Alexandria. They got to redefine life as we know it. They got to rewrite. And why not use skin color? It's this rare thing nobody ever talks about, these albinos. Nobody ever talks about them. Why not use them? How the Father says, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by those that are not a people. What is he saying? Those that are not a people, are they not human? No, he's just saying they're not an ancient people. So that gives you a little bit of feel. I can't go into that no deeper for time's sake, but I think the Father has allowed the enemy to use these lies for these people to rule punishment to the whole earth, because the whole earth turned their back. So he uses no-name people that come from various tribes, all mingled there in Europe, and I just think that's what he did. That's Brother Seth's angle. Sister Eliana, Pastor Chris, Brother Kingman may have a completely different way of looking at it, but that's happy as far as why the skin color. All right? All right, brothers and sisters. I want to take a little short little break, and then we want to come back. Pastor Chris, any comments? I don't think we hear from you in a while.
No, I don't have any right now.
Brother Kenwin, before we take
Want to say that Esau is the end of the world. That's all I want to say.
I love you, brother. We're going to deal with the Esau thing sooner or later. We already did on this show, and we had a brother. Everybody kind of got their points in, but I really think you should have heard Brother Elishua and Brother Yeshua, a.k.a. Brother Terry, in Cincinnati. That was their thing to just show. But we all got our own angles on. Everybody had their contributions on that. We don't think Esau is necessarily exclusively the white man.
A threat?
No, not that he's not a threat. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't know that I can credit Esau with white man because his descendants mixed heavily. He was white. Descendants weren't because they mixed too heavy. Anyway, let's take a little short break. You just keep bringing up. That's why I'm laughing. He keeps bringing this up, this Esau thing, and a lot of people do think that. Sister Eliana, you okay with a break, Pastor Chris? Y'all okay with a quick little break?
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, no problem.
All right.
Again, we're just swinging, y'all. Swinging. This is a crazy, crazy case. And while we're not staying exclusively on Joshua Burgess and this murder, we're also talking about just the lie, the deception, the power of these lies of white supremacy. I'm going to talk about the book just a little bit that I'm trying to write. I am writing again the myths of white supremacy. Our world, covert ruling religion. It is a religion, folks. Again, it actually has its own savior. Be right back. This is a song saying, Guess Who? Guess Who? By Morgan Harris. Be right back, folks.
Has now got to arise. That's why I dedicate my time to the work of Rastafari in this time, so I and I can be free from this lie. Guess who tried to clear my origin and say they are the children of the blessing? How can this lie be so right when they don't believe in Jesus Christ? Oh my, I know
Brothers and sisters, we thank you for your time tonight. Again, this is the 5 Switch On Network. We have on the line all the way from Texas, Brother Kenwin Casaberry and Pastor Alcee Chris. Also, Sister Eliana has joined us from Mercy, California, and we thank y'all for giving me for the noise in the back of my curator. Turn this off. Didn't realize I was going to go live that fast. But listen, brothers and sisters, tonight we are not playing around, as you see. We're not hating. This is not a show where we're just crucifying Joshua Burgess. You can hear the love. You hear Pastor Chris and you hear different people saying, our brother, you know. We try our best, folks, to see things the way the Most High sees it. You heard Cecilia Liana say, and Brother Kenwin as well, that this was a spirit. Now, if we thought the white man was just the devil, you don't need no evil spirit. It's just the devil. That's all he do. That's all he know. That's not what we're saying. So make sure you pay attention to that, those of you that think or have ever thought that this network preaches hate. Because I know when y'all hear me talk about leprosy and all that, I get some concerns, I'm sure, when that happens. But like I say so often, I love every single one of you. And there is nothing you can do about it. Folks got to get past the hate and really see people's intellect and their mindset. We have to deal with where they're at. The Bible talks about husbands dealing with their wives according to knowledge. I think that can be expanded to just dealing with people according to knowledge. Can't just call people devil because they go and do something crazy. You know, a lot, and this is not the only time a white supremacist kill a black girl, obviously, or rape and kill. I think, again, intellect has something to do with it. In other words, reasoning. You might not agree with the reasoning. Somebody say, oh, that ain't reasoning. Yes, it is reasoning. Again, we had better start talking about whites becoming a minority. We had better start making it very clear that our white brothers and sisters see that they're not threatened. They're still going to have their grandkids and great-grandkids and all. They're still going to be around. They just won't be white. White skin is in trouble. That's a reality. So why would the Father make it that way? Obviously, he didn't make it that way. The social construct made it that way and created this giant universal pride in whiteness. And now people have this allegiance to something that's a social construct. Really and truly, a better name, a more biblical name would be idolatry. That's what my book has been talking about. They have went out and created an idol, and so have we. We buy into it every time we say white man, white people, black people even. It is just as ludicrous to say white people as it is to say black people. We're just people. If you don't know where you fall in Genesis 10, then you just say Gentile and Jew. The only way we know who a Jew is today is because of the prophecies that could be upon Israel. So we can say Jew or Israelite, but everybody else, we just have to say Gentile. Or like our good friend, the elderly white lady that's going around the country talking about white supremacy, like she say, I'm a faded African. We just have to call ourselves, you know, our white brothers and sisters, faded Africans. We probably should just start saying Africans, those of us with no pigmentation. I don't know what we're going to call our so-called white brothers and sisters. I don't even know if we should group them based upon them not having pigmentation. I don't know. That's something we can talk about, too. So, anyway, back to the phone line. Sister Eliana, your line is now open. And Pastor Chris, your line is now open. Brother Kenwin, your line is now open again, folks. These are our co-hosts tonight, and we're swinging away at this issue. Any comments before I ask a serious question to everybody?
Before you talk about the book, brother, I wanted to clarify my position that I am in the understanding that Esau is the white man, but it's a little conflict there. I don't necessarily believe that all white people are Esau's children. So there's a little conflict there in my learning thus far. And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there to you.
Brother Kenwin, just so you know, brother, in order for me to invite you on this show, you have to be what, in my mind anyway, a well-learned person. And, brother, you can hold your own. Believe me, there are thousands of people that agree with you and have what they call scripture to back it up. But anyway, Sister Eliana, any comment on anything you've heard tonight before I ask y'all some serious questions getting deeper into this white supremacy? I cannot wait to share with y'all some things. We're going to wrap up tonight, by the way, y'all, in about 29 minutes. So we're not going to go long, but I do want to get some feedback off some things that I've come across and I just want to share with y'all. So any comments so far, anything else you've heard so far?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, we're dealing with a very complex problem and an issue here. It's really on more than one level, not to mention the demonic thing. It's the fathering aspect, the daughter. Where was the mother in the picture? Again, I'm really new to this story, even though it happened in 2019, been brought about recently. And this is there's so much going on in our communities at every moment, and all of the stories we don't get a chance to really focus on, or they're not brought into the light of our region. So I'm really new on this story, but just going forward, you know, on any level, it's there's a tragedy here that this man didn't recognize and wasn't the father. And I do believe that he was under a power and an influence that wasn't his. And it could have been brought on by his own, you know, lifestyle. Definitely looks like he's been doing drugs and that he's part of that culture. Definitely possibly opened himself up to demonic spirits. So really, and then the daughter, you know, his daughter, what was she going through prior to these events? Had he been berating her, calling her names, on his fits of rages, you know, leading up to this violent, brutal? There's
wow.
A lot we don't know. Mm.
Yeah, and a lot of people want to know. Pastor Chris, before, I don't want to be insensitive. I know you had a lot of obligation. Are you good till another 29 minutes, or talk to us, brother? I know everybody had an obligation before he came here. This is sacrificing to be on this long. Pastor Chris, how's your time look really quickly?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Let me just say, Sister Eliana, you just brought up a key thing, because that black woman is getting drugged through the carpet on the internet. Social media have been having a field day with her for the last 2 years. And here's why. People are saying, how dare you not see who this man was? Were you that desperate? Is black women that desperate to be with white men? Y'all should check that out, because we're going to talk about this tomorrow. Listen, this poor woman is getting it. And here's what I have to say to that. This brings me to the book. Folks, it's a religion. I can prove it's a religion. The definition of a religion is the belief and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a god or gods. White supremacy is so serious to white people when they find out Jesus or Yeshua, many walk away. They don't want it no more. Black people have had this image on their houses, walls, kitchens, on their neck forever and knew he was white, didn't have no problem with it. Now we're finding out he's black. He was a Rastafarian-looking kind of dude, and we're still hanging with him. We've proven it don't matter. So my question is, if you don't want a black Jesus or a black Yeshua, what was you worshiping? What were you worshiping? You was worshiping yourself. This is why I say it's own religion. If you can't accept the Israelites being dark and you just don't want to talk about it no more, I had a lady at work, we was getting along just fine as Christians, talking about the Father and everything, the Bible. When I started talking about this Israelite thing, she's changed like day and night. Why? A lot of, and I'm not just talking about white people. Farrakhan said this. It's going to sound a little out there, but you got to think about it. He said a lot of black people are going to have trouble with heaven if they really thought a nigger was running it. That's how they look at it, a nigger. That's not how he's not called the Messiah and the Father nigger. A lot of our people is just done with us, thinking they're going to die. When they die, they have second thoughts. I promise you, white supremacy is a religion. And I just wanted to say one more thing, and then I want y'all's feedback on what I'm saying right now. And please, hold no punches with your brothers. Share with me, because we've been listening to y'all. We'll be listened to by thousands, I guarantee you. Where these shows are going, by this time, 5 years, we'll have thousands of people that have heard this dialogue. Listen to this, brothers and sisters, and y'all tell me what your feedback is. We're trying to analyze this murderer and this mindset. Ever since we've been brought to this country, they have taken the whole world, everything about the world, everything. How can we say we black people? I don't believe we black people. I don't believe it. I think we're white people. In black skin. I think we get along with white people better than Africans or anybody else because we're taught by them. We sit in the same class right next to the little white kid borrowing his eraser, he borrowing our pencil. We look at the same racist ass, same race. When we was coming up, I'm 60, 61. I came home and all of my entertainment was white except when the Jacksons came on. Pastor Chris, I know he went through the same thing. I can name every cartoon. Everything was white. Maybe not the cartoons, but, I mean, you're talking about Big Valley, Rawhide. We just looked white supremacy after white supremacy. And then we went into a world where all of the magazines was white. You were just having a wonderful time. Every once in a while you see Ebony and Jet. And it's different now, of course. But still, look real close. We are a product of these people. The only ones of us that are an exception is people like this on this line right now that are seeking and learning and learning and relearning and traveling and learning, like Pastor Chris. You know, he wrote the book about Africa. Okay, he's coming alive. But I can't say that we're totally out of the woods, but I think we're better off than a lot of our brothers and sisters. Do y'all understand what I mean when I say we really are white people, mentally speaking? So what I'm trying to say is it any wonder half of the country put a racist in office? I'm trying to show you how you can brood a killer, an 18-year-old mass shooter, how you can raise and produce doctors that's doing all this stuff to us, because this really is their country. We're just their property still. Now, those of
right.
us born again are claiming the Father and all that, and if we walk in the Spirit, we really don't belong to them. I will claim that forever. If you really walk in the Spirit. But if you're just walking around just willy-nilly, just don't really get into done deep, don't really study the Bible, don't really study history, you're their property. Well, I'm a doctor. I beg to differ. Okay, you're just a rich, you're still property of theirs. Now, watch this. When we go over to Africa, we have trouble with what we're looking at. That's why we don't go over to Africa. That's why we never think of back vacation in Africa. We always want to go where white. We think just like white people. Please comment, anybody.
Yeah, I think the word you're looking for is assimilation. We have assimilated into their culture, and we kind of starting to think like this with the school system and their train of thought, and even in religion. Well, we don't want to separate with them even in that aspect either. Some of us are fully assimilated. Some of us are just fighting it at its core, and we call them ghetto people. That's always in trouble breaking the law.
Well, let me ask
they
you a quick
fight
question.
Assimilation.
I'm a quick
go
in
ahead,
and out. Bro. I'm moderating, but I'm trying to just quick in and out because I definitely want to hear from y'all. Assimilate means you're breaking into it. So you come from another mold, and you're breaking into this new mold. We never had another
merging.
Mold. We never was on another road to merge to the new road. I'm saying from get, we've been theirs. But that's me. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, y'all. That's why I'm bouncing this off you, because I am writing this. I think African Americans are property of white people today. And the only ones that are not is those that have studied, like the people on this line right now, you guys, studying, learning, breaking away in your mind. I don't think we're any different from, I don't think the average black person, I'm talking about thriving doctors, lawyers. Just look at how they talk. Look at who they support. Look at how they feel about the motherland. Look at how they feel about their features. Look at the comments they make about their own, the features. So this guy is an extreme, of course, but I'm talking about his wife now. I'm not saying because you pick a white guy, I definitely believe in interracial relationship, because I don't believe in race based on color. Anyway, I've talked enough. Sister Eliana, Brother Pastor Chris, feedback, please.
All right.
Don't both jump at the same time.
Yeah, I was about to start this.
Pastor Chris, I mean, really, y'all, let's be honest with me, because I could be dead wrong. I'd be dead wrong.
Right.
But I tell you one thing before y'all comment, Sister Francis Chris Welsing, this is all she talk about. No, the hair. Black psychology. This is all they talk about. It's called black self-hate. And it's really no different than what white people think. But Pastor Chris, please.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, this white supremacist, his story that they teach us is one of the things that's geared to make us think less of ourselves, because we generally accept what they tell us without studying our own history for ourselves by people who didn't have that racial bias in saying and admire, you know, just saying what we did in history truthfully. You know, it's all, you know, all of it's geared to make us think less of ourselves. And then if you think less of yourself, so like a brother or sister gets killed, well, you know, it's one of them. It's one of us, you know. We are lesser than. So they've been doing all of these years. They can do it now. I think we just really have to throw off the vestiges of even Western Christianity, because, you know, it was formulated to be an oppressive religion. They took a liberating religion and made it oppressive. And so we have to start reinterpreting Christianity from our own perspective. I think.
Yes. I like how you put that, brother.
We have to see divinity within ourselves. You know, even right. Even when God created humankind, where was he? He was on the east coast of Africa. So what do those people have to look like?
Right on.
And then they said, okay, if God created man and woman in his own image, then what did God look like? That's where I take
right
it from. What did he look like? And so even in Genesis, they said, then there was darkness on the face of the deep, and the Lord said, let there be light. But before he said, let there be light, where was God existing?
Let me ask you, Pastor Chris, you're a pastor,
yes.
Right? And again,
yes,
y'all,
sir.
Moderator, commentator, I'm going to try to be less than 30 seconds here. Moderator, commentator, don't you think it's strange? Oh, my God. Y'all just don't know. This right here pulls on me. Don't you think it's strange when you go up to a black person, especially an elderly black person, I'm going to say over 50, or any pastor,
mm-hmm.
with the exception mm-hmm. of people like you, of course,
mm-hmm.
and you say any of what you just said, if you say anything of what you just said, especially if they're Christian, they say to
mm-hmm.
you, why do you have to talk about black and white? Why is it black and white?
Well, it is.
Don't you think it's
strange? Well, because, you know, that they've been taught by their former slave master. They have been, you know, the same things we were talking about, their history, their God, their religion, their lies about we did this, we did that. You know, I think, you know, if you really look at it, that's a sign of inferiority. I don't have any history, so I'm going to have to steal yours. Then all of a sudden, Yeshua the Christ becomes white when he was originally black in Europe and all other places. You know, all of these things.
Right.
So you don't see the divinity of yourself. You see the divinity. You know, Francis Cress Welsing talked about this. You see the divinity in your former slave master and his children,
right.
his family. So that's one of the worst things they did to us is to help us not see our own spiritual divinity, our special place with the God of the universe. So they just took our spot and projected themselves as the chosen people.
Right on.
Eliana?
And
yes.
Hold on. Go ahead, Pastor Chris. My bad. I thought you was done.
No, I'm finished, bro. Y'all go ahead.
Sister Eliana?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with Pastor Chris. You know, so here it is. The last thing that he said I love so well, because it's true. You know, I'm going to just be honest. The only power that they really have is the one that it's in between our two. We believe they are powerful. And they know that because they use fear. They engendered a lot of fear. They brought a lot of torment. And they puffed themselves up. And we carried it. All they had to do is show us. It comes from the Willie Lynch theory, how we see ourselves, how we treat each other, how we exceed them. That was a formula that they created to perpetuate in a day like 2022 that they're still so great, so important. We spend way too much time on the topic of them and not enough time on the topic of us. You know, 3/4 of the world's population has melanin to many degrees. And they have made themselves a god that only we perpetuate amongst ourselves. That was the imagery that they put forth. And even today, when they, in many instances, don't even believe in this deity that they've puffed up, we still carry it with passion. But it's a new god. It's not the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a new god.
Preach.
And the Most High said that would happen. You will discontinue from your heritage. You'll even worship and serve new gods that your fathers didn't even know. So
yeah,
we spend too much time thinking that, you know, they are this great people, and we put too much emphasis on them, and then try to compare ourselves and really rake ourselves over the coals, trying to understand them, trying to think like them, be them, get along with them, relate to them. You know, that's going away. They are fading in their power. They're fading in their statute. The witchcraft, the spell has been broken. When I used to do my blog talk program, I talked about that. You know, they had the world under a lot of witchcraft, but that's broken now. It's not working anymore. And so we have to stop looking to that old, you know, that old republic image, that old plantation image of them in their seat of power, and recognize that we are rising in power, that the Most High is increasing us, and we don't need to do anything like them. The scripture says, hate not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. And we love imitating them and trying to be like them. And it's really a moot point. This is a people that's already been foretold. They will not be in the new world. They will not be at the end of this age. They will no longer have a preeminence or authority or a rule or even an importance. So we don't need to, and we're coming close to those days. We don't need to worry about what they're doing. We don't need to put too much energy into what they're doing, because they are lost, they are deprived, they are, in many cases, I have a deeper insight than some of this, the character of these people. They're very fearful, they faithless, you know, they're not all that they're cracked up to be. Even the paint is beginning to crack. The plaster is beginning to crack. And we have
to
know that. Broken mirrors.
Let me ask you something, Cecile. I know we missed you on a few of the previous shows, and I would have loved for you to have said what you just said about that, what you just said. I would love for you to say that, have said that on the previous shows. Let me ask you a question. Now, a lot of us don't hang out with Israelites like every day, all we're around the Israelites. We are around the people we're talking about, okay? I want to ask you a question. I want Pastor Chris and Brother, as we're winding down the show. People listen to this show. Whites, I know for a fact, I just read the first three shows you probably missed. But I talked about it, and we're heard now in over, I don't know, 40 countries. And it literally shows how many listen every day. Sometimes it's only one or two, but Croatia, Russia, China, Indonesia, I mean, they listen. If you have the ears to Steeliana of white America, keep in mind, Israel is supposed to reach the world with the gospel, talking about this God. But if they're fearing that they're going to be annihilated, and a lot of these young people especially, and older people too, is buying into the lie, we need to do something to these people that are annihilating us. Sister Eliana, that's what they're talking about on Discord, on these channels. It's big. It's huge. They are talking about killing us. Some ain't not going to get a machine gun because they don't want to go to jail. They're only locked up. The most killings is not going to be reported because they don't want to be caught. What would you say to them? Do you feel like you should say anything to them?
Well, are they going to listen? That's the key. Their demise has been foretold by a mighty God. We can't, their paranoia and their fear, you know, there's also a time the scripture says that Israel is going to take up arms as well. We're coming close to that time as well. So what we have to understand is they've been talking like this a long time. They've known a long time that they had a short run. Now, that just reminds me of the scripture I just mentioned in Revelation. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Satan comes down having great wrath. Who else on this planet do we know that keeps a perpetual wrath in their heart and makes up stories and pumps themselves up for a reason to kill Israel? But is it not the children of Satan? He says Satan comes down having great wrath because what? He knows he has a short time. Isn't that what we're talking about? They have a short time, and they're at the end, and they know it. They know it. But what they are not putting into the equation is the Most High, which is our refuge and our strength. But he also said that Israel is going to take up arms, and Michael, I believe it's Michael, the archangel, is going to fight for us. He's going to fight for us, and he's going to go out in front. So the time for that kind of war is going to happen, but we as the children of the Most High, we need to be about our Father's business in the sense that we need to make sure we are obeying his commandments and doing his will. He has always fought our battles. The problem that we really have is that we're no longer trusting, even in our diaspora and our captivity these last 400 or 500 years, we no longer believe in him. We are trying to tackle this through political correctness, through passing laws, marching. We're not calling on the name of the Most High God. We're not asking for his help. We're not asking for his intervention.
Let me ask you a question, because I know. Let me make that more pointed, and then you can finish up. And after we answer your question, we'll wrap up, everybody. So, and those of you that are listening to this show, if you listen to the show and you click on the link, please call the number. We're going to roll over just a little bit. We're wrapping up this show, but we're going to roll over just a little bit. So if you clicked on the link, you listened to the show, you did not call the phone number, you must call the phone number now to continue listening, or you got to wait till we're finished and done, and then you have to listen to the show after it's recorded, okay? But, Sister Yolanda, I really, really appreciate what you're saying. And I appreciate it so much. Like I said, I wish you was on. And I get accused of some of what you're saying. But, for instance, this book, some might say, why are you writing no book for white people? The book is not for white people. The book is to say Israelites, you're in idolatry. Talk about white supremacy. I don't know about anybody else. I'm talking about stuff we're doing every day. That is idolatry. And you know, especially if anybody know, that Israel has been called to a pure form of worship. I need to break loose from the mindset of white supremacy in every way. I just can't see us going into the kingdom with this mindset. So what I said to you is, I know for a fact you work there in Mercy, in the government. You work at the polls. You're coming in contact with a lot of white people. And guess what? Some of them are spiritual Jews. They really want to do the right thing. Come to you, and you perceive in them this poison. All I'm asking is, what do you say to them? Because what I say to them might not be right. Go ahead.
Well, it all depends. It's a case-by-case and person-by-person basis. There are, like you said, there are some who will really open up, and they will hear. And there are others that they're already corrupted to the core, they're hardened, and they're completely convinced that their way is right, although they perceive that maybe they're wrong. But they are not strong enough to break away from the herd mentality. They're bound to within their own culture and stand alone, and that's hard. One of the things I'm trying to do out here is to create community where anyone who feels that they, you know, want to be more connected, want to keep the commandments, you know, they can feel safe and they can have a safe place without feeling like they're being attacked. I'm getting it on all ends. I mean, I was just in a meeting tonight. That's what took so long. There is a group planning the Juneteenth here. I'm not even going to go through the whole story. I'm just going to say they didn't know me, but they saw that I was doing something, and a lot of conversation was going flying, sparks were flying, and organizations here like the NAACP, the Black Parallel School Board, the Juneteenth Committee, the Association of Positive Brothers. I mean, all of these organizations, people have come together that all grew up here in this area, Merced, and they want to do something. And here's this, who is this woman coming? And they're talking to me like I'm not even part, you know, of the Black community, like I know nothing about the struggle. And I'm probably the visually darkest complexion among all of them. But they're trying to give me an education about my community. And at the other end of the spectrum, I have all of these whites and Hispanics and Hmong embracing the work I'm doing. And also equally in the community, our community, they like what I'm doing, but they want to somehow be the head of all that comes out of what the Black community is expressing. And I just don't fit. I'm just an odd bird because I carry a tremendous anointing. That's the first thing that they don't know about me or understand what makes me stand out. I can speak to them, and I don't have a problem. I can speak to the Hispanic community. I can speak to the Hmong community. I can speak to the white community because it's not I that speak. You know, that scripture is really true. I do belong to an ethnicity. I do belong to a population of people. But when I received the Ruach and the Mashiach, I'm no more my own. I was crucified. That person who was born, that single African-American Hebrew Israelite child, was crucified. And nevertheless, I live, but it is not I that lives. It is the Mashiach that lives in me. He has a desire to reach all men. So when people talk to me, especially on the one-on-one, it is that Messiah that lives in me that's able to reach their soul, and an understanding and an exchange takes place. And that's how I speak to them when I have the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation, because it's not I that is speaking. It's not my own human intellect or wisdom. I take a seat back. I might even be feeling some kind of way, but I recognize the need of their soul. I hear that cry, and then I allow the Ruach to take control, and the words that I speak to them become spirit and life for them. And my name is flying around this community, in every community. In every community, people are walking up to me saying, "You're Eliana." They're watching my Facebook Live. And I went to an event with the mayor and all kind of dignitaries, and all, you know, they were dedicating the Boys and Girls Club. And somebody walked up to me and said, "Oh, my God, I watch you. It's good to see you in the flesh." And I was like, wow, I don't even know this person. But I'm always cordial, I'm kind, because I know I'm representing the kingdom. Most of all, I'm an ambassador. I represent a kingdom that is not of this earth. I represent a worldview and a perspective that most of these people don't understand. They're caught up in either their skin color, their group, their nationality, their language, or their political party. And they are so much more than that. And they don't understand And they have their conversations in their home and their worldview and their biases and their prejudice and their implicit bias. But when it's time for their souls to hear and the Most High has me there, then I'm there to speak on his behalf, like I did at the city hall meeting in our city a few days ago. I was going to say, I was able to speak and bring order back to city council. So that's our role. And then, you know, and then people come to me like Nicodemus came to the Mashiach by night. People come to me on a one, and then they reveal their true need for the Most High. And that is how I speak to them.
Well, that is beautiful, 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 beautiful. I wish we wasn't at the end of the show because I didn't want to cut you off because that is good. And that's kind of what I was getting around to because I am in front of a lot of white people. And I would love to talk to African-Americans, a.k.a. Israelites all the time, but these white people saying, I just said a family union. Then we come to Pastor Chris. Closing remarks, get them ready, Pastor Chris and Brother Kenwin. Closing remarks, y'all, in seconds here. But I was at a family reunion. There was a mixed couple. They're probably listening right now. And I told them, they said, what do you do with the blog show? I said, well, I'll talk about things that a lot of times you can't hear at our churches or education institutions. We kind of like to talk about things that people really have, things that's going to affect their life, affect their relationship with the Father, but you can't ask them in church. You can't ask them. You're not going to hear the kinds of stuff we talk about. You know you're not going to hear some of the stuff we talk about nowhere. And so white guy who's married to one of my black cousins, this white gentleman married to my black cousin, say, what's the most controversial thing you talk about? I laughed. I said, I don't know if you want to ask that. And I didn't. I punked out. I did not talk. The most controversial thing we talk about, I think, is leprosy. But I didn't say that because I didn't know how. I would have to do a whole lot of explaining. Was going to get offended and was going to mess with the whole private reunion. So I just said, well, we talk a lot about racism and there's this big fear right now among whites, you know. I kind of hit what we talked about tonight a little bit. So my point is this, that's how I roll. I get people like that all the time. They don't want you to pull no punches. They want you to tell them the truth. So I think the Father is using all of us to help resurrect some of them. Do we exclusively go out to white folks? That's not what I'm saying. Do we cater them? Not what I'm saying. But when we open our mouths, Cecilia Eliana just said it, we're not our own. And if the Father want to use a spiritual Jew to help resurrect natural Jew, who am I? And so I don't know. I just think it's just where I'm at. And that's really what this book is all about that I'm talking about on Sunday nights. It's trying to get white supremacy out of the country, out of the earth, definitely out of Israel. But Pastor Chris, go ahead. Your final, and then Brother Kenwin, and we'll wrap it up the show, and then we'll let Sister Eliana have last word.
All right. First of all, I just want to thank you, brother, for inviting me back on. I appreciate that. And I want to say, I think that you covered a lot of pertinent topics tonight, and I just hope that the people are picking up on what you're saying, on what we are all saying about, you know, the New World Order, what's in Revelations, and what's going on today. So I just want to thank you. I think it was a good show, and I appreciate you, and I'm going to sign off.
All right, Pastor Chris. Well, thank you again for being on tonight. And go ahead, Sister Brother Kenwin, your final, please.
All right. I want to just say we wrestle not with flesh and blood, you know. There's definitely demons and things like that out there, man. Evil spirits. They've been casting them out of people going back 2,000 plus years, man. They're still there. They still can get into people. And thank you yourself for having me on the show. It's good to meet you, Mrs. Eliana, Pastor Chris.
Yes. You got a name right.
Yeah, it's screw her name up, but you got it good. It was good.
All right, all right. All right, well, it's good to tune in, and I like the show, man.
All right.
Y'all have a good one. Shalom, shalom.
Well, shalom, shalom. If y'all can hang on, I got a final little song here. I think you're going to enjoy it. Sister Eliana, final words.
Yes, it really was a pleasure to be on tonight, and I think it was the right night for me and very appropriate. So thank you, Seth, for reanimating this platform. And I've seen the growth and the maturity, and I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You don't know how glad we are to hear you, sister. You did very well tonight, and I could really take some notes from some things you said here. And I love how your first comments was talking about focusing on Israel and us and not so much. That was pretty good. I listen to these shows again twice anyway, so I'm definitely listening for that again. All right, so thank you again, Sister Eliana. All right, folks, there you have it, Sister Eliana Badia, all the way in Mercy, California, Brother Kenwood Casperi, Tyler, Texas, and Brother Pastor Chris in the wonderful state of Texas as well in Fort Worth. My location? Yeah, I ain't going to tell you. But anyway, folks, we really do love everybody, and ain't nothing you can do about it. We're trying our best to walk in love. Sometimes it sounds like tough love, but, folks, bottom line is, we're trying to be about that kingdom. We really, really are trying to be about that kingdom. All right? Going out with a little bit of, I had said I was going to do that, but I'm feeling a little different on that. Just had my song okay, here we go. This is to those of you that's listening, you don't know the Father. Check out this song. If you really listen to it, this song could actually save your spiritual life because it's biblically based. Check this out. Good night again. I love every single one of you. I know nothing you can do about it.
The other day, a young man came up to me and said, Reverend, I really don't want to sound like an eternal pessimist, but I really feel like I'm at the dead end of the road right now. Everything I undertake to do becomes a failure. I try to treat everybody right and I do all that I can to live right, but it seems like I just have a hard time even making ends meet. And I said to the young man, I said, you sound like a good man. But I wanted to know from him, had he really given his problems, his concerns, had he really turned it over to Jesus? I wondered, have he really had some sincere prayer? And so what I said to him was, you long for sweet peace and for faith to increase. And I know you've been sincere. You've earnestly and fervently you prayed. But I wanted the young man to know that you just cannot have them.
But you cannot have
or be perfectly blessed. None of that can happen until everything right there on the altar. It's got to be there. Come on and help me say, why is your all on the altar?
It's your all on the altar.
heart, does the spirit.
Your heart.
Does the spirit.
Does the spirit.
Control. As you yield him,
your body,
and you gotta give God your
soul.
I need to say that one more time because I wanted to convince the young man that he's gotta give it all to him. Give it to him. Give it all to him. Give it all to him. Give it all to him. Your body, your mind, and your soul. Oh, I just wish I could convince the listeners here tonight that you gotta give him all. Lay it at the altar. Hallelujah.